Time in the church, you see the green banners around us, this time after Lent, after Easter, after the Pentecost. It doesn't have an extraordinary name. It's called ordinary time. That's kind of boring, isn't it? But there's nothing ordinary about it. It is an extraordinary time. Some call it kingdom tide. The green represents growth, the strengthening of our spirits, the strengthening of our faith, the strengthening of our lives, the growth that we go through. We're in this season for much of the year, most of the year. We really don't change it up until Thanksgiving, and that sends us right into Advent, which prepares us for Christmas. So we're going to be green for a while, but that's good because that green represents the growth, and we are surrounded with growth. That hymn we just sang, it's a typical song that we sing around Thanksgiving, right? We associate it with Thanksgiving, but you wouldn't have a harvest without a planting, right? So it all goes together, and it all represents the growth that is taking place in springtime and summer leading up to the harvest, and all part of our Grains of Truth sermon series that we're working on throughout the month of June. When you plant something in the ground, something absolutely amazing happens. When you plant a seed in the ground, something amazing happens. The seed grows. Not just a little bit, a lot. It grows and it grows and it becomes a plant, a tree, and it bears fruit and vegetables and flowers and all of the things of life, all of the things that we need to sustain us and give us life, that life may flourish and grow and thrive. It's a miracle. And how it all happens is a miracle. And a bit of a mystery. It's hard to explain. Now, I know that there are explanations for it. Just ask any science teacher, and any science teacher will give you an explanation of how it goes. We know that. We don't shun science. God is a scientist. God is a scientist at heart. God uses science as God's method to bring about things in the world. If you were to ask a science teacher about how a plant grows, you would get a lesson on photosynthesis. We'd hear about the energy from the sun, and chlorophyll, and oxygen, and carbon dioxide, and all of the minerals and the salts and all of the things in the soil that get absorbed. And yes, I did have to watch a kindergarten YouTube video just to be able to say that much about photosynthesis to you. And I'm going to stop there. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. I know that I'm a preacher at heart. Well, we could hear about this process and we could recite it beautifully and we could write book reports or write books or publish scientific journals, and we'd still come up woefully short of understanding what's taken place. Because holistically, when we step back, even with all of these processes at work, which we might be able to articulate, even with all of that, what we are witnessing is a miracle. And how do you explain a miracle? You don't. You just appreciate it. You just accept it and you give thanks to God. Life is a miracle. Growth is a miracle. The growth from seed to plant to fruit to harvest to table to blessing to seed again and planting season again, it is a miracle, an absolute miracle. It is an awesome process. And I am in awe of how it works. And that it works faithfully over and over and over again as it has been doing on our planet for the last 700 million years. The earth produces of itself We know this. It's the sacred cycle of life. This is not news. This is not breaking news. We've known this for thousands of years. The ancient Greeks had a word for this, automate, the automatic process by which the earth produces of itself. The cycle of life, the great circle of life, sacred ancient rhythms. And on these sacred ancient rhythms, all life depends. We put a lot of hope and trust in this process, knowingly or unknowingly, whether you're a farmer or not, whether you're one who works the soil or whether you're one that just stops by the Bel Air farmer's market and enjoys the fruit and the produce of others' labor. We put a lot of trust in this whole process that it's going to work. And thanks be to God, and thanks be to a whole lot of science, which comes from God, it does, over and over and over again. What is true of the earth is true also of the kingdom of God. It is inevitable. The kingdom of God is inevitable. It is going to happen. It is a sure thing. This is the point and the main point of the first parable that Lauren read for us, the parable of the growing seed. You cannot stop it. Nothing can stop it. It's going to happen. The unstoppable forces of God are on the side of this kingdom coming into being, and it just does. It happens whether we approve or not. It just is. And quite frankly, it doesn't happen because of us. It happens in spite of us, and with or without us. All we do is scatter the seed. The rest is up to God. And that we have any part at all is an act of grace. God doesn't need us. God wants us. I liken it to a parent who steps on the elevator with his or her child and allows the child to press the buttons on the elevator, which my kids always love to do. I didn't need them to press the elevator buttons. I let them press the elevator buttons because they loved to do it. Here I go with this elevator button pushing illustration again. That's how I started this whole sermon series, isn't it? Food has been coming up from the earth long before we arrived on it. And food has been coming up on the earth long before we ever figured out how to farm it. God is the one who supplies. God is the one who provides. God gives us the food that we need. God gives us the faith that we need to survive. Thanks be to God. And the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which Debbie was so good this day to sing a rendition of, and we sang as our opening hymn this morning, is a hymn that celebrates this melding of food and faith as provisions from God. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. One commentator called this the parable of agricultural grace. I love that. The parable of agricultural grace. And then went on to describe something else in the world that he calls medical grace. Doctors rely on it. A patient in a hospital just before his surgery joked with the surgeon and said, "I could do surgery." "Oh yeah?" said the surgeon. "Yeah," said the patient, "I could do surgery. What I couldn't do is go back the next morning and check to see how it turned out." They shared a laugh, but afterwards the surgeon responded, "What we depend on is not chiefly our medical skill and technique. What we depend on chiefly is the body's ability to heal itself. We just help that process along. The body contains healing powers within itself. The body contains restorative powers within itself, miraculous powers within itself. And this healing process is what's called medical grace. The body heals of itself. The earth produces of itself. The kingdom of God comes about of itself. How? We know not how. It is a gift. Is it an act of grace? A gift of grace from God. The second parable that was read is the parable of the mustard seed. Perhaps you know it, perhaps you've heard it or heard of it. From tiny, tiny beginnings come great and powerful and miraculous endings. All three synoptics tell the story, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They each put a different little spin on it. In Matthew, when you read the parable of the mustard seed, Matthew says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Luke tells us, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will be done. Mark is much simpler. Mark is simpler. Mark just simply says, this tiniest of seeds turns into the greatest of trees. Jesus held up a mustard seed, this tiny, tiny little seed. The smallest of all the seeds, he said, becomes the greatest of all the trees and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The history of the Christian church provides a stunning example of this. Think of our beginnings, our tiny, tiny, humble beginnings. A cradle in Bethlehem, a manger in a stable, a baby born to a poor family who had no adequate place to stay, no home to call their own, on the move, no place to stay, no support system in place, up against a dictator who wanted to have that child killed. And except by the grace of God, would have ended our story right there 2,000 years ago. But thanks be to God, our story grows and thrives and bears fruit upon fruit. Because from that beginning became the global church of Jesus Christ, so that in every nation around the world, in every tongue, in every culture, in every creed, in every class, the song is sung that Jesus Christ is Lord. If Jesus is the mustard seed, we are the mustard tree, putting forth our branches of faith so that the birds of the air, the peoples of the world, can flock to us and make nests and rest in the shade that we provide. What a beautiful vision of the church, of what the church could be, of what the church should be. A mustard tree providing shade for all the world to rest. These two parables back to back would have been a tremendous comfort to Jesus' disciples, primarily because it took the pressure off them. They didn't have to bring this kingdom of God about. The temptation was always for them to do that. The temptation was always for everybody to try to do that. The zealots were always trying to bring about the kingdom by force, by sword, by war, by revolution, by revolt. Jesus just laughed. The kingdom is not going to come about by force. The kingdom is not going to come about by sword. Put your swords away. The kingdom is going to come about by love. And it's just going to happen. All you have to do is not stand in its way. Allow it to happen and be a part of it. Be a part of this love that is taking over the world. Be a part of this love that is thriving and growing and flourishing around us. Don't stand in its way. Love as Jesus loves. Allow this love from God to take root in your hearts. And secondly, these parables would have been a great comfort to Jesus' disciples because of their encouragement. From the tiniest of beginnings come the greatest of endings. For these disciples, I'm sure getting that message would have been quite comforting because they would have been frustrated, and the early followers of Jesus would have been frustrated that this message that they were supposed to deliver was just not getting out. Don't worry, Jesus said, it is taking root. It will happen. Preachers get frustrated from time to time, wondering what difference we're making in the world. The great Fred Craddock, one of my preaching heroes in the world, was once talking to a group of preachers, and he was responding with some questions and answers, and the preachers were saying, what are some of your greatest disappointments? What are some of your greatest surprises? What are those things you wish you had known, but nobody ever told you? And he named a number of things, but one of the things he named was that every once in a while, preachers will get a hold of this golden nugget of information that we are so excited to share. We can't wait to share with our congregation. We can't wait to share with all of you. But it doesn't have the impact on you that we thought it was going to have. And Fred Craddock said, you can see the illustration being launched from the pulpit, and then it just thuds right on the other side of the pulpit like a flightless dove. Out there in the congregation, blank stares, silence, quiet. He realizes it was dead before it even took flight. Don't be discouraged, Jesus would say, and don't underestimate the power of a planted seed. You have no idea the impact that planted seed is going to make on somebody's life. You may not find out till years later. You may never find out at all. But that planted seed will take root and germinate and bear much fruit and be a source of strength and faith for others. Societies grow great when old men plant trees, the shade under which they will never sit. The mustard seeds of faith that we plant will grow rich and thrive and flourish for others someday. Pastor Deb ordered up some mustard seeds for us. We have both brown and yellow. They're in the little packets on the back of the table. I hope you'll grab one and take it home. Stick it on your refrigerator. Stick it on your desk at work. Place it somewhere where you will appreciate them. And remember the lessons from this Grains of Truth, and let it be a reminder of this wonderful sermon series that we were able to share together. There are yellow ones and there are brown ones. The yellow ones are the American gold standard for mustard, right? The brown ones are the kind of mustard seed that Jesus and his disciples would have known. They only had the brown mustard seeds in Israel in the first century. The brown ones pack a little bit more punch than the yellow ones. The yellow ones are a little bit more mild, but you probably know that. They mix brown and yellow together in whole grain mustards today. But take them home, place them where you can see them, place them where you can remember them, and let them be reminders of the whole sermon series, but the reminders today, the kingdom of God is inevitable, and from tiny beginnings, tiny, tiny beginnings, come great, great endings. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.